We gathered here, Lord God, in thy name. And Father, we're just looking up at what you said, that when your children gather the way they are gathered, that you come, Lord God, and feed them. And Lord, our hearts are thirsting and hungering for you. We pray that this morning you take over and speak to our hearts, Lord. The sweetest, like the singer said, the sweetest carol, Lord God, I've sung, the sweetest sound that our ears can hear is when you speak, Lord God. Therefore, Father, I take this opportunity, Lord, to ask you kindly to come and stand before us and speak to our hearts, Lord. Take our hearts to yourselves now, Lord. We are all yours now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen, amen. You can get seated. Oh, thank you. I can see Dad there. I didn't expect Dad and Mom. It's good. It's always good to see you. It's very, very good to see you. Very, very good. I was talking to Mom this morning. I didn't know she was coming. And she didn't tell me. She was coming. That's good. Well, Mike, God bless your heart. Mother, God bless you. Yeah, so. Thank you, Sister Mendocinia, for taking care of Edith. I mean, it's so good. Sometimes I do get concerned when I hear that she's not feeling good, and it's good to see her this morning again. I'm very, very happy. Sister, I love you. So, I had a problem with my iPad here a bit this morning, so I'm coming here late. I hope that my quotes are not disturbed. Okay. So, I have a lot of talking here that I've put down. But you see those comments in the quotes that I've sent. So, may God bless you. Sister Amanda Senior is feeling better now. I'm very happy about that. And I was called my mom had something yesterday, and I was concerned a bit, but the Lord takes care of us all the time. So I really don't know how to bring this, and it's a very complicated subject about the book, and we have covered a lot. And so it's not something that you can just say it says this, it says that. And when it comes to the deleting of the names, so it's kind of you cannot, it's just not there, it's just not there, just like black and white, like you can read it. It's not like that. But you connect this quote and this quote and this quote and see exactly what he's saying, the bigger picture of it. Sometimes when it's read, and I said in the Church Ages book, there's some things that sounds like they're not very clear. It's like they are being taken from the old Church Age book that the prophet preached. But the prophet said he waited, or they waited, the prophet and Brother Evel, to come up with the right thing after the seals were revealed. But it was, they started writing this book, the book of Church Ages, in the Church Ages before the seals were revealed. When the Church Ages was preached, they tried to kind of bring it in a. I don't know how the prophet said, but Levir was trying to put it in a language that the people can hear. No, not like the preaching that the prophet did. So sometimes, and it's a very clear book. It's a very clear book. It explains things very well. More than sometimes the prophet is saying something and he's kind of stomach, you know, he's preaching, he's continuing preaching, and but everything, when you look at it, the Lord gives us the revelation and brings the whole picture before us, and now we understand it. And that is what we want. Now, I want to go straight to reading, but my point here is, one of the points is that the book, we have seen the book is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are, as always we have said, is that we don't have two Jesuses. It's just like when the prophet says about Jesus will come and marry a bride. He says like that. And then the 144,000 are introduced to Jesus. Those are not two Jesuses. One will be introduced to the 144, and another one that will be that will marry a bride. It's the same Jesus. And he does those things the same. He marries, and then he takes the 144. Another thing that I would like you to be clear of is even the Holy Ghost, the eternal life, is not different. It's just the same. But the difference is predestination. What he predestinated you to be, where are you going to be? He predestinated the bride to be part of him, to be in the house with him. Let's imagine this is the house. He predestinated that bride will be in the house with him, one-on-one, just close that, like that, close that, like that. He does not hate the 144,000. He loves them. He has the same eternal life. Because there are not two kinds of eternal life. It's just one kind of eternal life. So he gives them eternal life, the 144,000. But they are not predestinated to be in the house. I think I cannot explain it very well, but I hope you understand that. They are not predestinated. God, in his plans, in God's plans, he didn't plan for the 144 to stay here in the house, like the bride. He predestinated and planned that they will be there, outside there. I don't know, outside or somewhere. But they will be in the eternity. They will be in the eternity. They will be in the new earth and new heavens with eternal life. They're eternal also. So the kind of eternal life they have and the kind of eternal life this bride has is the same, because it's eternal life. It's a form of God. That's the only way, that's the only form of God, of eternal life that we have is God himself. So we don't have two eternal lives. Eternal is a life that was there, that is here, that will be there. They have never been not having that eternal life. It's eternal. If it's not eternal, then it's not eternal. Then it comes and goes. So if it's eternal, then it was there. The 144 had that eternal life. There's no nothing like they are given eternal life. That's another thing that in the church ages, you find that it sounds like that a group of people are given eternal life at the resurrection. That's true. And when you look at that, you find that it's like they didn't have, can you listen to me? It's like they didn't have, but now they have. But now they will have at the general resurrection. It's like they didn't have, now they will have. We don't have anything like that according to the continuity of the revelation of the Word of God. According to the continuity of the revelation of the Word of God. Because the continuity of the revelation of the Word of God is we don't have something that is today eternal and tomorrow not eternal. We can have that. If we have that, then we don't have our pictures right. We don't have our picture right. We've got to have our picture right. Whenever we talk about this, we've got to have our pictures right. So when you see a quote here, please just leave it if you don't understand it. If it's not going together with the others, then there's something there. There's something that's not right there. So just study it, look at it, and see what he's really talking about. So, I'm sorry, I've been studying this, I've been looking at it upside down, I've been going upside down, look at it this way, look at it this way, different ways I've approached it. And maybe there are still other ways that I've not approached it from. There are still other ways. I would like somebody else to come with it and approach it in a different way. But I've tried my best to come from different ways. I've also mentioned some few ways here. And still, I think there are some, I don't know, But I've tried my best. It's a very touchy subject. I've not heard people talk about it very much. And I don't know why it laid on my heart. It's a question that somebody asked in Kenya. And I wanted to answer that question. And I felt like I can say it before him. I said, I can say it. Because I've looked at it. Is what is the book of life? The book of life is simply Jesus Christ. I wanted just to say that. But my voice cannot come out. I just wanted to say that and believe. I said, brother, let me go look at it. And I'm going the right way. I'm going the right your way. So that you get what it is exactly. When I came, I wanted, because sometimes I want to look at something before, when somebody asks a question, I want to look at it exactly in different ways and see if there's something that I'm missing. I like going away. I can have 1,000 hits and I'll try to go about them and see if I can catch something. If I don't get everything, I don't throw it out there. So I don't. When I come, I looked at it, I said, I think there's something there here that is not connecting exactly. So I went there to study it and looking at different ways, even how the other people would look at it. And I said, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to just say, it's Jesus Christ and leave it there. I'm going to bring some more quotes on that. And that started this. And from then, I've been looking at it. And I think the brother, if he's listening in, maybe he's been helped. There's a brother who called me from Sri Lanka, and we really talked about this on phone. I can't exactly, and I love him so much, but I can't exactly understand him very much. And I hope that I'm talking in a way he will understand this. Like that. So when we're approaching this, it's not a book. It's not a book. It's not a book that has pages. It's not. And as I said the other day, and Sister Edith was reminding me on Sunday, God does not have a pen and a paper to write when they have a meeting. God does not, he doesn't forget. He doesn't have records. Records like records on books. There's nothing like that. He just speaks in this language, a language that we people with feeble minds can understand. That's why he talked of a book. But he comes around and tells you, that book that you're thinking is a book is him. It's Jesus Christ. He says like that. So when he says that some names are taken out of the book, then he says that there are some names that are written in him, and then they're taken away. That's a problem right there. That's a problem right there. Because a name is written in him. It's him. We can draw here and say, it's him. This whole thing, this whole that we're calling book, is him. It's him. It's Jesus Christ. So when we say a book, a name is has remained, a book has remained, no, a name has remained, then it's a name that has remained in him. Not a book, it's him. Let us now come up, because now God has wanted us to come up, not to talk. Not, he said, one time they went to talk to him, and he said, "I saw I went to sow," and he gave them an example. "I saw I went to sow," and then he said, "But nobody understood. Nobody understood what he said." So they followed him. The disciples followed him, and when the disciples followed him, he told them, "Why do you speak in parables? We also don't understand." And he looked at them and he said, "Because you are given to understand. You people are given to understand. And they were not understanding." You are given to understand. Amen. How are they given to understand? And they are not understanding. There's something in them that is disturbing them, that is wanting to understand, and that is considered that they are given to understand. Because surely God is going to make them understand. We have been given to understand. God has brought us to a place where we desire to understand. And we want to understand. God has given us the understanding. That the book is not a book. It's not an iPad. God has made us to understand that. It's him. So when we hear that a name has remained in him, then that name should have been in him. A name was taken from him, then a name went away from him. But that name should have come in a certain manner to him that is not eternal. I hope that is just not stable. That name should have come to him in a manner, and I'm going to explain that. That name should have come to him in a manner that is not eternal. Because every eternal name that comes to him, don't leave him. Because he's the only eternal one. So if any name goes to him and it's eternal, then it didn't even go to him. It was already in him, because him is the eternal one. We don't have anything eternal except Christ. We say God and Christ is one to me. God is one and Christ is one. They are one. You know, they say it's not one like a finger. Yes, I know that also. I understand that. But Christ is eternal. Everything in him is eternal. If there is a name that is in him that has eternal life, then that name is eternal. And it always has been with him. So if there is this name that is here, that has come, and is going to be deleted and get away, that name should have not come. It should not have been eternal. That name is not eternal. But that the Father has given me, none have I lost, and none will I lose. Except him that was a devil to begin with, that was not with me. Though I chose him, remember he chose him. But the Bible says, that kind of choosing was not the kind of choosing that he chose. That he chose Isaac, that chose Abraham. It's the kind of choosing that he chose Esau. He chose Esau. He chose Pharaoh. He chose them for a certain kind of work. He called them for a certain kind of work. That's exactly right, brothers. He called them for a certain kind of work. So he chose them and he called them. Did Pharaoh hear the call? It doesn't matter. But now he had a job here on earth. And it seems like God is unfair. And brother, don't you read that quote? It doesn't matter. Esau have I loved. You love it or don't hate it. You love what he's doing or hate it. It's God. God is sovereign. He's the owner of you all. He can do whatever he wants with you. He builds one pot to put in fire and break it and kill it. And get another one and put it in a place of honor. It's God who does whatever he wants to do. And you cannot ask him. You cannot ask him any question. He does whatever he wants to do. Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved. Is there any question? You can ask that question. Is there any question? Jacob, I've created Jacob and loved him. I've created Esau and hated him. It's my creation. I can do whatever I want to do with it. So you can ask me, this is Judas. You can ask me that question. This is Judas. And you people, I know you people. You like me. You like reading very much. We are called different. We are called differently in the different ways. I like John when he's reading. If John doesn't lead, I don't like it. And then when I come here, I don't lead. We are built like that. We are built like Dad reads. I like it, brother. Dad, when you read, I like it. You are built like that. You know how to. I don't. And I'm going to read. I'm still going to read some quotes here. but bear with me. I just like talking. So you can ask him. Judas looks like he's really worked hard. Since he was called, he worked hard. He worked for God. He doesn't look like he's supposed to be taken out of the book. So that you know, it is not you. It's none of the people that have been here on earth that are driving this thing. None of them. Now it's him. He's the driver and controller of the whole thing. He says, no sparrow falls from heaven until he wants it to fall. None. He's the controller and the driver. You cannot bat more than he wants you to bat. Amen. Praise be to God. There's a scripture in Amos. A scripture in Amos. Let's talk like that. Is there anything that can be done wrong in the city and I've not done it? Wrong. But I have not done it. So that we don't have this idea. I was talking to my brother Elijah, and I loved him to be here. I know he's maybe held up somewhere, and really God has really helped Elijah. And I cried yesterday. I really held him and cried. I could not hold my tears. I was very, very happy of the way he's talking to me. I mean, I was really touched by that. I was really touched by that, and I love it. And of course, I've talked to God about him, and here he is, and I'm happy about that. I was very happy about that. And I read a quote. I didn't know where to put it here, but I put it here. I didn't know where to put it. I just put it there because I just felt like I wanted to. I've resisted putting it, and still it's coming. It's about Dan Henry in the book of the Marriage and Divorce. In the book of Marriage and Divorce, he talks about Dan Henry, and he was telling him that there must be a 23rd chapter of the book of Revelation. He must have been talking about the third chapter. It sounds like Dan Henry, the way I've seen it, it's like Dan Henry was trying to say, Brother Branham, you bring some things that are not in the Bible or something. It looked like that to me. When he was holding Prophet's shoulder, telling him that, a voice came from heaven, or something came from heaven and touched him. And he didn't believe in natural, in supernatural. He didn't believe in that somebody can talk in tongues. And he talked in tongues, and he said some things. How the prophets have chosen the narrow way, the harder way. And the prophet says, the quote, I'm going to read it. He says, and that is, you are choosing. Those are the things, brother, that you've got. You've got to come to a place where you place these things right. If you don't, you're going to draw a cow. Sometimes people don't care if they draw a cow on a tree, eating grass there. If you see a picture like that, get scared a bit. Stop everything. Bring that your cow down, the picture down, place it there, and say, God, I want this cow where it belongs. I want this tree where it belongs. I want the leaves where it belongs. I want the grass where it belongs. Unless you do it, I'm going to leave it. Seems like that was his choosing. It is good. And God commands us. I told Elijah, God commands us when we hear that voice calling us. Because it's a voice that has been calling him. It's a voice that had been calling you. And maybe you resisted for a given time. But when you come, God commands, God says, that's right, son. You've done the right thing. Because that very same voice has gone to very many. And very many have not come. You know what? Is again predestination. And Elijah was telling me, I said, that's true. He was telling me, yeah, it's God. It's God. It's not me. It's God. I said, that's exactly the truth. That's exactly the truth. But you did good to come. You chose to come. You chose to accept that voice. Praise be to God. And I know there's always voices calling us. And something telling you, it's not that way. And for some time you resist it. It's not only that time when you're called and you come. No. That's not the only time. God is constantly talking to you. Because we don't stop growing. We don't stop getting better in him. We don't stop getting deeper and deeper in him. So there's always a voice calling you, get deeper. You have 2 inches now, son. I want you. Now you've come of age. You need another inch. God is permanently calling you like that. Sometimes we resist. And we stagnate for time. God doesn't want that. And because you are son, he will punch you until you get to the other inch that you want you to go. He must. He must do everything, whether spanking you. I wonder whether this is it. I don't know. My breaking of heart. I don't know. But he might do anything. He wants you an inch higher. He would do everything. It was better for the whole heaven and whole earth get the bankrupt. But the Son of God gets to where God wanted him to be. Praise be to God. Though it's his own choosing. And God said, and that's my way. Down here he says, I'm going to read it. And that's my way. Sounds like an Elijah was kind of throwing it to God. And that's true. I like it. But you see, the whole thing is him controlling it. Tell me how the Son had to stop when Joshua wanted it to stop. Tell me who stopped it. The whole earth, the times it goes around, that knows those things. It's him who controls it. They say if it stops, I don't know what's going to happen. He can stop it and nothing will happen. If he wanted to, he's God. He can go against his science. Nobody knows science. We think we know science. He knows better, far much better than us. He can do whatever. This is all his. You can't bat. You can't move. You can't accept Christ until you are chosen. As he's doing. Whenever it comes to a time that I want to attribute it to myself, may I check with my understanding of God, attributing it to me. I came to God. Because I had it and now I came because I wanted it. Praise be to God. You take some break like Jonah. A man running from the presence of the Lord. Just look at that. Just an example. Just look at that. A man running from the presence of the Lord. God could have come. You're going to hear me, Jonah. You're not going to start ceasing. You are going to, you call it Nineveh? Am I calling it right? Tarshish, where he was going. And he was supposed to go to Nineveh. Do you remember that? Jonah, you're not going to Tarshish. You want to go to? You are going to Nineveh right now. You tell me that God, that he was not the prophet. The prophet preaches someone called a man running from the presence of the Lord. You tell me that he didn't have him on his hands permanently. Even when he was in the ship going to Tarshish, he was in the hands of God. Be controlled. Be controlled. If that be not the case, why did God create that fish? And the prophet comes and says, he created that fish because he wanted to save the Ninevians. That's the purpose. That's the whole purpose of it. It looks like he's getting out of his way. He looks like he's running from God. It looks like that. In every way, it looks like that. Nevertheless, he's on God's heart, being controlled. And at the right time where that fish was, it was not in the Pacific. It could have been in the Pacific. It could be in the Atlantic. But where he was, that's where the fish was. And where they decided that they're going to take him and throw him down to the water, that's where that fish was. There are words that they said there, and they sounded like they are non-Christians. They didn't care about God. But there are words that they said there. They said, God, you know the integrity of your hearts. You know there were different people in that ship. They were praying according to the way they are supposed to pray. And they found this guy here, he's not praying. And he didn't want to pray. Praise God. What am I saying? I'm simply, I don't know why it came back to me. I didn't intend it. But you see, I just want to show you that God has it on his hands. The only way I can trust it is if I know that. Let me say this, brothers. God wants us to know that. Amen. That is on my heart. Don't worry. Things are going bad. Don't worry. Amen. I can see Jonah in the ship going to the river. Don't worry. I can see things are going wrong. Don't worry. I have it. I have it. I'm controlling it. If you see it going wrong, it's me. It's me. Don't worry. Just trust me. I can't trust God. I can't trust a God that someone else can decide what to do and he can do it. Somebody can decide to hit me then. I'm not safe. Nobody can hit me. Nobody can kill me. All the policemen of this county can come with their guns and point it. And go, if God has not pushed it, those triggers for me to go. And they can even push the triggers. Do you remember when the prophet wanted to kill himself? He was so mad and he wanted to kill himself. And he banged that gun down like that and tore it away. Brothers, sisters, it's on us of God. That's how we can trust him. If it's not, then I don't trust that kind of God. Praise be to God. And that was so much. It was just about this guy called Judas. Judas looks like he did very much. That's how it looks. He was supposed to be deleted. This guy comes here. And the only thing we know about him, Gamaliel. The only thing we know about him is one. But he told the people, stop killing these Christians. Because if you might be found killing Jesus, fighting the very same thing that you're fighting for. So the best thing, and he says, this just was wisdom. It looks like just wisdom. And that is counted. That is counted by, what is it? Listen. It's not what he did. It's not what he didn't do. It's what God had predestinated in Gamaliel. And what God had predestinated in. Is God controlling it? God has it. He'll take it wherever he wants it. You look at Jacob and Esau. Let me tell you the truth. As a human being, I would have loved Esau. If it was a vote, I would have voted for Esau. Is it called Esau? My vote would have gone to Esau. You look at him. What wrong? What wrong? Except that one thing, and he was hungry. I would give him my vote. Praise be to God. That's a human being. That's a human way of looking at it. Look at Jacob is a liar, constantly stealing and things like that. Jacob is a bad guy, but not Christ. In Christ, he starts. To my eyes, he falls. But to Christ, he starts. Jacob starts. Jacob have I loved. For what is, I don't know. What am I trying to say? I'm saying it's on God's heart, brother. It's God. It's a whole kind of a God. I can trust that. Can you trust that kind of a God? Yes, sir. A God that has it all. He doesn't need any help. He controls it. He has it. I can just stay there and lay down and say, Lord, take me wherever you want. I'm yours. Praise be to God. So let's go to the quote. We have talked too much. Let's go to the quote. But that's the picture that I get here. Now, the prophet told us the book is Christ. That's my comments. The prophet told us the book is Christ. The taking out of the book then is being taken out of Christ. It looks like that. Now, if this is Christ, I'm just giving my way of looking at it. I'm going to draw somebody there that looks like Christ, okay, like Christ, like that, okay? Like that's Christ. Gamaliel. If he has eternal life, if there's any one time that Gamaliel will have eternal life, regardless of what he did or what he didn't do, he was in the eternal one. That is here. somewhere here, or somewhere you can draw it in the head, because he says he was a thought to begin with. Now, if Judas, this is a book, if Judas, and I'm going to do something here that you're going to disagree with, that's okay, but look at it. If Judas was there and he was taken away, he was somewhere around him, but not in him. All this is called Christendom. I can call it Christendom. Christendom. Just bear with me because of this one. These ones are not in the message. He says about Ecclesia and Christians. He's, that was, and I'm going to read a quote to that effect. Judas was somewhere just around there. That is Judas. And it was like that in the church ages. There are a lot of people who came there calling themselves Christians, calling them of God. They all surrounded Christ. They had claims on Jesus Christ. And therefore Jesus Christ, because they had a claim on him, he talked with them. And he talked to them. He talked with them and talked to them. Because they had claims on him. So in the church ages was doing that. Until the church ages was over. After the church ages was over, he took what he was his, what he died for, and that was the bride, the 144. And it was done. There's no more salvation. Listen, I have some quotes to that effect also. There's no more salvation. There's nothing to be done after that. No, nothing. No more mercy. No, nothing. He's simply dealing with one group of people called the bride as the bridegroom. And anybody else, like the 144, that are there, predestined to do something else, but they're in the eternity. They're in the eternal. They're eternal also. So they are there. But anything else, all those people who claimed and who tried to say, we are Christians, we worship, they did works of God, many works of God. There's a quote that we read, that you can do the works of God and be so good at it, and yet not be one of us. You see, we read that the other day, and I think there's something like that. I mean, people who really work the works of God, and they can take long in that, and looks like they are doing God's work like that, and yet they are not. Praise God. So they are here. They are all around that. They are claiming. They are, because of that, claim is very important. Claiming. Not now. Remember, not now. Not, remember, just being context. Being context. It's not now. It's not now. It's over. Brother, it's over. You say the last name has come? Let me say this. You need to understand what a name is. You need to understand what a name is. He will call names. What is names? He says he will call names. He says, it's not Roderick Johnson. It's not like that. It's not that. Mom, it's not mom. Mom, come. Katrina, come. It's not that. What is it? It's when. How are you called? When this is spoken, there's something that calls you, because you are that which is spoken. So when he says the last name is when this, the last one of this is then spoken, which was the last in the church ages. It was done. And everything came here. Everybody who come here, that which is in him, like our little ones, that which is in him, when it's spoken, they will just come. Esther will just come. Because he's here, he's already come. The last one has come. If he's that, he will come. Hope, they'll come. Aspen, and they'll come. Because it's already here. When it's spoken, it touches. It's when the deep call in the deep. They just come over. Okay, so we are moving from the book now. We are getting there. We now know. The rest of them are not given to. We know that that book is him. And nothing that is in him. Look at this. All that. Look at this. All that. Anything. If you are left, if you are tall, you not go nowhere. You are tall permanently. And you are tall before the foundation of the world. And you'll be a tall in the eternity. And you cannot go. You cannot be deleted. You cannot get out. And you cannot go to hell. Going to hell. Going to the lake of fire is like God going to It's like burning the leg of God. That cannot happen. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Now, language has meaning. I don't know how to organize my coach. I didn't know where to put this one, and I'm hoping that I'm not going to take much of your time. But and if I don't, you have the quotes, you can read them. So, this what I'm doing talking to you is good enough. Anyway. Now, if language means anything at all, we must admit that Judas was chosen by Jesus. That is the things that really confuse people, because he was chosen. Judas was chosen. Do you know that Judas was called? Judas was called. As he called Peter. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When he was found them fishing, he called them. He picked them. What is that? He called them. He called, come, Judas. Just like he called Peter. He chose him. What is it? There were so many people there, but he picked Judas. And you wonder, why does he pick Judas? And then answer yourself this. Why did he create the devil? Why did he create Satan? Why? Why did he greet Satan? Then answer that. Why did he call Peter? Why did he call Judas? He said, "I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." Did you know? Do you think he didn't know when he was calling him? But I answer yourself that. Answer. You go and know why he created the devil. Papa, you think God was not omniscient when he created the devil? I'm asking a question. Do you think God was not omniscient when he killed the devil? Brother, he was omniscient. He knew exactly what the devil will do. The devil might not even have known what he's going to do, but God himself knew what the devil is going to do. He created him for the same purpose that he's picked. Judas, all right. Okay, and that's gone now. Now, his language has been, yet he was not clean. Judas was also given to Jesus by the Father. Let it be noted here that the choosing and giving is the exact parallel as in illustration of Moses and Pharaoh, Jacob and Esau. And though Esau and Pharaoh were both foreknown, they were predestinated to wrath. It's just predestination. Is God choosing? Is God doing it? Is God working on whatever he wants to achieve? The other day I said, God, for all he's wanting to do, he could have lived without us. He could have lived without the earth. He could have lived like that. But there is something in him he wanted to display. He says, I wanted to have a purpose of being. Amen. He said that. I want to have a purpose of being. He's doing all that for him to... Amahira, can you see Amahira? Can you see I'm this? Can you see God wanted to display that? He enjoys it. When he heals, he enjoys it. When he worships, he enjoys it. When he worships, he enjoys it. You had to come for his own purpose. When we work so much for ourselves, I was talking to my wife this morning. I just work for myself. When we work so much for ourselves, we forget sometimes that we need to work for God. We need to do something for God. Yeah. You say, what do I do for God? Just wake up one time, I was telling him, just wake up and sing for him. Worship him and say, God, how great thou art. How great thou art. How good are you, Lord, that you've taken me this far. Just do that. Do something for God. We just know ourselves, we are tired. We don't give God a minute or two. Help me, Lord. I'm weak. I don't do that either. But I'm deciding that. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm telling myself, brothers. There's a purpose he brought me here on earth. I would like to accomplish it. And the other day I think I was talking to my wife, but I don't know. But You think you're tired. You can't pray. You think you're tired. You think you're so much. You just think about yourself and you pity yourself and things like that. And I told them, when I'm gone, I'm going to Africa. I would like them one time, one day. Sometimes there's a family watching something. They get together and watch something. I told them, I would like them to watch that video of John Haas. The video, there's a documentary. It's a very good documentary of John Haas. When they asked him, John Haas, we're giving you the next 5 minutes before we put you on the fire to recant Jesus Christ. I looked at him and said, I said, I'm recanting myself. I can't do that. And the fire thrower threw the fire in. And now you talk about how you were beat up in the life, how that is. You're not going to that. Peter was walking out of the city and he said he saw Jesus. Nobody else saw Jesus Christ going to the city. And he said, I'm not going there. He was coming out of there and he turned. He said, I'm going there to die. And you can just complain the whole day. I do. How I don't have this, I don't have that. How someone, you're not. I'm just saying we can give ourselves. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying we can give ourselves more to him. He's worth it. Amen. All right. If I don't finish this, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's there. If you read and have a question, we can discuss it. If you don't see it the way I see it, It's good. It's all right. It's all right. God will open it to me. All right. For though Esau and Pharaoh were both foreknown, they were predestined to wrath, for the head of Moses and Jacob was glorification. Judas, devil, lost a God-given. Judas, a devil, lost a God-given Holy Ghost ministry and killed himself and went to his own place. His name was even in the book of life, but his name was blotted out. That's Judas. Now, how are they in Christ? How are these people in Christ? Now, listen. As all Israel is not Israel, so all Christians are not Christians. Thus we learned that that is the book called The Resume of Churches, The Resume. Okay. Thus we learned that the church is made up of two vines, the true and the false vine. They are Christians, the church. They are the church. The church in the church ages is likened to the wife of God. That's you read that in Ephesians, Paul giving it, love your wife as you love yourself, like that, and they are one, and not let no more man put aside. He's just reckoning a man and a wife and Christ and the church. He's reckoning that. So just like that. The two vines are motivated by two kinds of spirits. One, the whole church is like that, but they are in the church. This is the church ages. This is in the church ages. Spirits. One has the Holy Spirit, or the other one is endued with the spirit of Antichrist. Both claim to know and be known of God. Both claim to know and be known of God. Both purport to speak for God. Both purport to speak. They don't speak for God, but they purport. Not all speak for God, but they purport to speak for God. Okay. Both believe certain very basic truths and differ on others. But his, now listen to this. But since both bear the name of the Lord, being called Christ ands, can you hear that? Can you understand that? Because they both bear that, because both are in the circle. Some of them are in Christ, some of them are not. Do you see that? Some of them are just around here. There are the people who are not nowhere, like Pharaoh. He's not in the Christian circles. He's not there. There are some people who don't know God. They don't care about God. They're just like that. But they are a group. They are Christians. They are denominations. They love God. They worship. Even the Holy Ghost, sometimes, I'm going to read a quote. The Holy Ghost will come and anoint them and speak in tongues and heal and speak and they suffer. Let me tell you, sometimes they suffer. They suffer. I saw one in Nigeria. It was just a picture. And he was giving something. I mean, I'll go there, but I think he was from Kenya. he was going there to preach. And when he started preaching, there's a pulpit. What do you call that? Like a elevated place. A elevated place when he's standing before the people. And brother, it never rained that in Nigeria, like that in Nigeria. It rained until you could not see somebody there. And there was water everywhere. And he's still singing for God. He's a denominational man. They suffer. They suffer for God. They suffer rejection also sometimes. Like Judas, you know, they were told one time, when you go, don't go anywhere else, go to the houses of Israel. And when you go there, if they don't accept you, just stamp your feet like that and move out. Stamp it. You think Judas was not doing that? He suffered rejection. That does not make him one. There are other people around here, they are far, like Pharaoh is not nowhere worshiping God or anything, but he's there. There are very many like that. I don't know where to put the Hindus and the people there in India who don't, they worship cow. I've seen them coming here and licking their hearts, touching the cow's leg and licking their heart and leaving some money there for that God. I've seen them that. We hear in the history of the prophet talking about some of them that were cutting themselves. Like in the Old Testament where Jezebel, where those gods, where they were talking to God, they were cutting themselves so that God can... Sometimes they cut... Do you know that there was somebody that God, that the prophet was praying for a woman that had looked at the sun so much. I think it was a woman or a man. He had looked at the sun so much until he got blind. And now the prophet was praying for him, worshiping that sun. So they suffer. That does not mean nothing. That does not mean nothing. That does not. That. But you know what? In the circle, because they call themselves Christians, God talks to them. God talks back to them. But that does not change them. If they are worse fine, they are worse fine. I had some quotes, and I'm not wrong. You know, when you're studying this thing, you study everywhere. And I went somewhere where the prophet says, death does not change you. Maybe I could have put it here. I just remember now. I could have put it there. Death does not change you. You die a sinner, you come up a sinner. Okay, where are we at? For the others, is endued with the spirit for Antichrist. Both claim to know and to be known of God. I think I've read that. We follow around this, okay. But since both bear the name of the Lord, being called Christians, and by such name bearing, because of that name bearing, obviously claim a relation to him, God calls it a marriage. Now this is confusing. Marriage has never happened. That's in the church age. Marriage has never happened. But he calls it a relationship. Because that marriage has not happened. But he says, listen, I think we need to understand this. We need to understand this. Marriage has never happened until now. Until he came and took a bride. But he says that he took Wesley's people, Wesley's age, he took them and took them, but they refused. He divorced him. He divorced that. Then it was like a marriage. He divorced that. Then he got Luther. They refused. They divorced that. He says, now it comes to Pentecost in the church, in the book, the marriage and divorce, he says, because they refused the fatherance of the word, he divorced them. He put them away in divorcement. That's the kind of marriage he's talking about. But there's a marriage here that, listen, this is not, I think you get the difference. The marriage here is different. This marriage is, there's no divorces, there's no nothing. They are together, they are done, they are complete. That's what he wanted. He has a bride, that's done, that's finished. That's finished. Okay. And she cannot go away. Remember, she cannot go, it's him. That's very interesting. I'm talking about her, but I'm saying, it is him. When I say it's him, I'm talking about her. The bride is him. And the prophet says that the prophet says in the book called Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I think paragraph 300 and something. Well, there's 340 something. He says, it's now. That oneness is now. It's never happened. It's now. He said, that crypto was talking about now. When he's come and they're joining together. So that time in the church ages was not then. That scripture was not then. Though this marriage is there, that's why I'm saying, let's read in context. But let's not be quote readers. Let's not be quote readers. Let us be drunkards of the Holy Ghost. Drunkards of the Holy Ghost. Let's be that. So he calls it a marriage. He calls it a marriage. That's what he calls it. It's not necessarily a marriage, but he calls it a marriage. So that he talks to them and he talks to him. He says, God now holds them. Now God holds them responsible. I'm going to read a quote here that is going to show you why. God holds them responsible to him. And therefore speaks to each. He speaks to the good ones and he speaks to the false vine. He speaks to them both. We further learned that these two vines would grow side by side until the end of the ages, when both would come to maturity and both be harvested. The false vine would not overcome and destroy the true vine, but neither would the true vine be able to bring the false vine into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We learned the most amazing truth that the Holy Spirit could and it would fall upon the unregenerated and regenerate false vine Christians and must manifest powerfully in various signs and wonders, even as Judas had a definite ministry in the Holy Ghost, though he himself was pronounced to be a devil. Right? Okay. Now, let's go to the book. You bear with me a bit. I'm just going to read very fast now so that I finish this. Okay. Yeah, he said, now that is the book called The Anointing Ones, The Anointed Ones. And I think that's. Yeah, he said, they would do that. Notice, you workers of iniquity. I got a scripture written down here. I don't know, workers of iniquity, check that. I don't know, that's paragraph 252. I don't know just where it was. I've took so much time. I'm going to look at, he goes like that, but he says, it's Matthew 21, Matthew 7, 21. Now, my comment there, he says, not my comment, this is a scripture. He reads a scripture. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. If you look at that, that's brew. That's in brew. Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He says, many shall say, many shall come. This is interesting. Judas would have done that. Many shall come. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not prophesied? That's great, brother. The prophet, in another quote down here, he says, in other words, I've been a prophet. Like Balaam. I was a prophet. Lord, I was a prophet. Do you want to take me to the lake of fire? I was a prophet. Okay, now. Okay. Prophets, anointed ones. That's right. Wasn't we prophets? Wasn't we anointed one? Have not I prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not I cast devils? How can you do that and refuse to be baptized in Jesus' name? See, oh, my, see, how deceiving. Right up to that. A very point, then draw back. You go up to that point, very close, and then draw back. They go right up to the word. This is serious, brother. They go right up to the word. They just come to the word. Go right up to the word, then draw back. Now, watch this. We get this out just a minute. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? We've been prophets. Yeah, I spoke of that in Matthew 24. The prophet says he spoke of that in Matthew 24. And in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from you, from me. You that work iniquity. Prophets. Right. Iniquity. The prophet interprets that as something that you know is not right and you still do it. That's what is iniquity. That's what the prophet calls it. Paragraph 252. When it was put right before you, and you seen it, and seen it moving, seen it was the word, and for your denomination's sake, you know, look at this, brothers. Can you see that circle? Can you see that circle? Not in Christ now, but they're around there. They're just around. They're scattering around him. They come right to the Word. They come right to Jesus. Who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ. They come right there. They look at it. It's here. It's Him. Okay. When it's put right before you and you've seen it, and seen it moving, seen it was the Word, and for your denomination's sake, you just held into it. I never even knew you. That's what he's going to say. I don't care how many devils you cast out, how many you did this and that. I knew nothing about you. In other quotes, he says, he didn't, though he said there is a marriage, he says, knowing is like the knowing. And Adam, he knew his wife. You know what that is. And that's exactly, listen, brother, that's exactly what is happening now with the bride and the bridegroom. He's knowing us. We are becoming like him. We bear children that exactly look like him. What kind of children are we bearing? Can we be identified with him? What kind of identity do we have? In the invisible union, he said that they don't want these children crying and praying and talking to him like that. And like, they don't want that. They don't want, those are the kind of children we bear. This is the kind of life you bear. What kind of life do you bear? That's the children. That's the children. You are bearing children. The wife of the Lord Jesus Christ is bearing children. He's bearing fruits. He's bearing. What kind of life do you live? That's the kind of children you bear for him. You go to Invisible Union, maybe. He says something there like that. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, how many devils you cast? Okay, he says like that. Balaam said, I prophesied right in your name. It came to pass. That's exactly right. But when it came to the Word, you refused it. Oh, brother, see, the deceiving part, not prophet exactly, but with the Word. With the Word, true Word, vindicated Word, made manifest. You are cast of iniquity. Not the true Word. He doesn't have the true Word. He didn't go further enough with it. He just took part of the Word and left the other part. He said, try Satan has tried in all ages to impersonate the true Word. We know that, don't we? Notice, come to the borderline and quit. You know, come. It's not here. He comes so close. This is the borderline. He comes just right there. And you don't get into it. So close. It's just right there. And everything is there. The two things that we even don't have right now. Those are challenges. I challenge me. If God is with us, where are all his miracles? I need miracles. You say, miracles are wrong. Miracles are not wrong. And of course, we have miracles. And we can, every time is a miracle. But there's nothing wrong with the miracles. If God, there's a question. If God with us, where are all his supernatural amongst us? I like when the Bible says, and they prayed until when they were praying, the earth shook. And I'm not running for that. I'm not running for. Here I am, I'm good. But I want him so close to me that if I want to tell this mountain move, it can move when it's necessary. And he would lead me to do that. Not me thinking. Did you know that the prophet says, even the squeals, Brother Don, even the squeals that Brother Branham made, it was not him. He doesn't say it's not him. He says, it is not. It didn't originate with him. It didn't originate. I'm going to make a school now because I'm hungry. It's not. It was not like that. It came from somewhere inside there and thinking in his head of voice. What are you doing, Brother Branham? How many do you want? It's him. And he says, and something came in that room when the sister Hattie, and I wonder whether we know what that is. God is going to take care of things, right? You remember when he says the sister Hattie said the right thing? What is this right thing? He said, did you know what he said? And I say that always. That's exactly the truth. He just said that. That's nothing but the truth. He just said that. And he Hattie said the right thing. It's not that voice. It's not something. It's something the Lord is talking about that came from Hattie's heart. That sounded like a bomb. Blah, 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 before God, that you God was touching and said, say whatsoever you want. And he told him, the Lord has told me that you say, not I, Brother Branham. The Lord has said whatever, because of that blast that has gone before the cherubims in heaven. God has said, say it. And it will happen. Praise the Lord. And when he said, what he wanted, he said, that's his Lord. It's not him. It's him. I was telling my wife how we need to, we forget all the time. We wake up and walk, brothers. And it's eating me that we don't do that. We wake up because we are so busy. We just wake up and walk. We are in a hurry sometimes. I told my wife, let's give ourselves 10 minutes. Let's start with 10 minutes. So 5 minutes. That's what 5 minutes are. Okay. Let's have 5 minutes. Before we start our things in the day, let's have 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Just to read the word. And just to say, Lord, we are thankful for the night is gone. Before you sleep, just give yourself that. The prophet asks in the book called, how can we get that God of history and bring him here? He said, whenever you are moving, going to sleep, bring that old book. Bring that old book called the Bible. Bring it here. Just read the verse. Talk to him. Go to sleep. And one day, whenever you talk to him like that, he said when they were going to a mouse and they were talking about him, he was about to come in their midst. And he came in their midst. And one time, when you're fellowshipping in the morning like that, praying together, mom and dad praying together, he will appear one time and you hear him there. He may not appear and see in invisible or anything, but he will do that and you feel he's here. He's here. And maybe something he wants or something that you had been wanting all the time is here. Yes, come to. He will be with us. Let's draw closer to him and he'll draw even closer to ourselves. I never knew you. Okay, well, but I'm professor right in his name. To come. That's exactly right. But when it comes to the word, you refused it. Where am I? I'm thinking I lost myself. Try Satan has tried all ages. Notice come, paragraph 256. Notice, come to the borderline and quit. Look here. He said, Hebrew 16. He's reading another scripture now here. Now, we was reading here. He was reading here ago. I told you, refer back to it. And for the next couple of minutes, he said, but thorns and distos, which is nigh unto rejection, whose head is to be burned. The bordering, that's bordering. Yet, who have tasted the heavenly gift. These people have tasted the heavenly gift. Okay? It goes on. Paragraph 257. Tasted. In other words, you've seen it. You can't. Brother Branham smacks his lips together. Just taste it. You can just taste it with your mouth. But you've seen it. And you knew it was the truth. You know it was the truth. Tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit as it fell upon you. Tasted of the good word of God. Tasted. You've seen it was right. And the Holy Ghost falling upon you. We need in the field and then turn away. Denying the very Christ that sanctified you. Coming that close, he said here. And denying him. Okay. Then remaineth now and put that anointing upon you. Therefore, if that happens and you deny it, therefore remaineth no more sacrifice for sin for that. It's unpardonable. He said it's unpardonable. It's unpardonable. It's impossible for them to ever come to the knowledge of the truth. For it is impossible for those who were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, fell upon the Red Sea, started in with Jesus and Lord, I'm going through. But when you hit the word, you turn back. Made partakers of the Holy Spirit and even tasted or seen the word itself manifested and then turn away from it. It's totally impossible for them to ever see it again, see it or come to it. That's say the scripture. Now, you see, heavens and earth will pass away, but it won't. You see, it's totally impossible. The Bible said so, and the Spirit bears a record of it. Now, that was the examples that he's given here. I've written them down there. I've not been able to indicate that they are my comments, but he says those are Cain. You know Cain? God came from heaven. The greatest preacher. You know, sometimes it's, I think Brother Mishik who says that Ruther had the greatest preacher. Judas. Judas had the greatest preacher, Jesus. And he could not get it. Ruther had the worst preacher, the Pope, and he got it. You compare that? Yeah. Ruther had the preacher of Ruther was who? Was the Pope. Pope was his head. And he got it. Judas had the great preacher. What is it? Is that those who remained in the book. Let's talk about them a bit. Just a bit. What time? Give me this remaining, maybe 10 minutes or something. I'll finish this. My comments. It sounds like this group is different from those in the bride. My English is not good there. I think I wrote very fast. I'm sorry. But it seems like it's a different group. Now, I'm talking about this. There's this group. This group is what I'm talking about. Gamaliel group that will be given eternal life. You know, he says the foolish virgin there in the church ages. And I would like to talk about the foolish virgin in the church ages. Because it's true we don't have foolish virgin now. We have nothing now. But in the church ages, there were some people that were there were the bride, the part of the bride and part of the foolish virgin. And Gamaliel is counted like that, who will be given eternal life, although he seems like he wasn't like that. Now, but we can look at that, the foolish virgin and the Aldic, maybe one time. It is different from the group. So this group of Gamaliel that is not taken out of the book of life, out of Jesus, it seems like they are different group. Let's have a look at them. It is different from the group that was deleted, although they are in the same section of the book. They seem to be in the same section of the book, or they seem to. Actually, they are not, but they seem to, because they are kind of put in the same deleted and left. That's why they are in that section of the book. That's how he talks. But you know, now I'm going to bring something here. This quote will bring something else. The difference is simply predestination. I see. The difference is, although they are in the same section of the book, the difference is simply predestination. It's simply predestination. Not work, not who done, not who done. The bride is predestinated to be the wife. That's a different group completely. What is the difference? I'm going to say it here. What is the difference between this group that their names remain and this group called the bride? Is this group called the bride is the bride is bride of God, is a wife. These are the ones, though they have eternal life, they are not the wife. Do you get the difference? Now you can ask me, what is the difference? What is the difference of that? There's a difference. In one of the quotes, I've not put it here, but you can still find it in the church ages. Maybe I can give you. I think it's somewhere in my notes. Because, you know, before I bring a subject, I write so many quotes somewhere, and I just wonder, do I put this? Do I put this? And that's why I get confused. Sometimes I don't put the right quotes here. Because what do I put this? This looks good. This looks better. I mean, like that. I'm just trying to choose. So I think it's there somewhere, and I can give it to you if you want. And the difference is, one of the differences is that this group called Gamaliel and them that are given eternal life, that are not the bride, they don't go to the millennium. They are not in the millennium. Do you get that? Now, what is the millennium? I'm not going to talk about that, but just to mention, just a small thing. They are not found in the millennium. Millennium is the honeymoon. Mm-hmm. It's where the bride and the bridegroom go after the marriage. They are not there. So there are some things that don't go with them. It's just like the 144. 144 are not found. They are in the cherubims. The cherubims are surrounding this. They said the cherubims are surrounding this. This is the house of the Lord. Maybe the whole of America. I don't know. But he's calling it the house of the Lord. There's cherubim there, there's a cherubim there, there's a cherubim there. It's surrounded by cherubims. But in the cherubims, that's the bride. The bride and the Lord Jesus Christ are seated together. Every time you talk about the bride, they are seated together. There were thousands times thousands before the judgment. But there were 10,000s or 10,000s times 10,000s before the throne. But there was thousands and thousands, not 10,000, now thousands and thousands, in the throne with God. With whoever was sitting on the throne, they are there. They're not there, they're here. That's the difference. Brother, let me tell you. The greatest angel is cherubim. The prophet says, the angel that visited him here on earth, who was used to be the brother Branham, that was a minor, a small angel. Because of that, he says the cherubims and cherubim and seraphims is the same thing. Seraphims and cherubims is the same thing. Cherubim is the highest order of angels. Can I tell you something? You are greater than a cherubim. That's you can argue with that, but that's the truth, brothers. You are the most important thing. You are the one who made God came from heaven. And you are the most important thing in his eyes. You are his wife. He loves you. He will recognize the power that we have. That's why he says, we can build our own house. We can call it our own world, and God lives there. If you want to. We are like that. That's why I said, we are him. All right. So that's some of the differences. The difference is predestination to be the wife. She goes into millennium. The rest don't go into millennium. Millennium is honeymoon for the bride and bridegroom. Let us look at the group whose names remain in the book. The examples given here as the foolish virgin, Gamaliel, and Nicodemus, like that. It sounds like they died without eternal life, and they will be given that eternal life at the general resurrection. That's how it sounds in the book. In the book of the church, this book. And I don't think you can find it. I have looked at it in the other... Another messages, but in the Sardistan age, he just brings it very well. I think also in Pergamian church age. But in the other book, you don't see it. There's one in God, Israel misunderstood, something like that. But it's not clear as this. This is where he talks like, it sounds like that. Now, I'm gonna see. The foreign quotes shows, if you ever have eternal life, they always had it, eternal life. Whoever has eternal life at any one single time, he always had it. How are they then going to be given are they there? Let's read this question. Now, the only way that you can ever be a son or daughter of God, that's the things that are to be. Son of God, because you have to have eternal life. And there's only one form. I was wondering, because this has been read here. Some of this course here has been read here by Brother John. I was wondering, do I put them? Because I don't like boring people with the same thing always. So I thought, why do I bring it here? But I don't know. I don't know why I'm bringing it, but I put it there. Sometimes you just write something there. You don't know whether it's... I don't know why you put it there. Sometimes you just put it there because something is pushing you to do it. And that's okay. And so I hope it's not going to bore you. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. Only one form of eternal life, and that was God. There is to be there. To be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God. The Father before there was even a molecule, see? And you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life. And that was in God, a son of God. There's no way to have eternal life today, and you don't have it. You're going to be given then. There's nothing like that. There must be something he's saying when he says he's going to be given at the general resurrection. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying there must be something he's saying. Okay, now, the spirit, there's another one there, and I left some three. I wanted to put three, but this one, I was impressed to put this in here. So you just accept that. Maybe you can throw them on the group. And I'm sorry, brothers. I see, Dad, you've been posting. And they bless me that those quotes you put there. And they're blessing people. You don't know what to do. Yeah, they're blessing people. Don't get tired. If you have a chance, put a quote there. And me, I'm lazy. I don't, unless there is a topic that you're talking, I don't go there. But I enjoy it. You know why? And this is me. This is the weakness. I read quotes and I feel like I'm going to put it. And I don't know where to stop. Because it's so big and so good. I want to put it there. And I'm not going to put it. And I read it. Then I find myself not putting nothing. And then I'm not putting nothing. I say, I'm going to put this too. I'm going to put this tomorrow. And then I go up. I read. I say, I'm going to put this. And then when I go there, I want to put this. And it's so wrong. I'm going to take everybody's time. I'm not going to take it. And it's a weakness. But I love it. Every time you people post there, I love it. And another thing I would like to say as I talk, and I know we don't have much time, but rather, I've been a bit, I've not gone much like Don and the rest of you, but I've been a bit around. I met people. And God will hold you responsible if you hold your houses. Do you know, have you ever read the book? I know you've read it. Why it had to be the shepherds. In that book, the prophet says, why it had to be the shepherds? It is only the shepherds who can recognize a lamb, a sheep. It's only that. Nobody else would recognize a sheep. The kind of sheep that was, nobody else could have recognized it. In every way, it was it was where a sheep is supposed to be. Nobody could have recognized it. That's why it came to them. Not only that, they are the shepherds. He now turns around to say the shepherds are kind of preachers. It's only the shepherds who can take that to the people. The lamb has come. The lamb that taketh away the sins of the Lord has come. That's the purpose of it. God will hold you responsible. Having this great revelation like that, and you keep quiet with it and take it, not take it. People don't know it. You visit them and see, and you talk to them, they are low. I'm not bringing anybody down, those who are listening to me. I'm not saying I'm anybody, but the people who God has helped. If God has helped you, wake up! Brother, wake up! Like you're doing, wake up! Whatever means, whatever, throw it there. Help the people. Why had it to come to you? Why was it on the shepherds? Why? You are the ones who can recognize it. You recognize it. Take it to the people. Take it to the people. All right. I don't know why it's coming like that. But okay. Forgive me this, brothers. But this is not part of this. But the Spirit can come out and anoint you to certain things and do it. But that don't mean you are saved. Think of Caiaphas promised. Prophesied, Judas, cast out devil, see, the Spirit anointed him. This reinforced on the just and the just. The wheat can rejoice with it, with wheat, but it's what it is in the core. That's where you can, intellectuals can accept it away. Oh, sure, that looks good. I believe that don't do it. No, sir. And the Spirit can actually make witness of it. And still, it is not. It's not so. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, praise be to God. And remember, I'm not even talking. We use this to talk about the bride. Yeah, that's true. That's true with the bride. But I'm also talking about those who had life. If we had life eternal, he always had it. Somehow. It came from God. That thing came from God. All right. Now, still don't do it, okay, because that soul hasn't come from God. It can make all the impersonations out there, but it cannot be real. You can act hearing. You can act like you have. You can act like you receive it. Christians can act like they are Christians and act and be ever so good at it, but that don't mean they are saved. That don't mean they're saved. That's exactly right. See, the Spirit can be there. The real genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. That still don't mean you have saved. You're saved. It's that inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. It always was eternal. That's Gamaliel. Gamaliel had that. It was always eternal. It was there. Otherwise, it could not be. He is in him. He did not match. And I said, there are some things that you look. Why didn't he do much? Why didn't he do much? I said the other night. God has allotted. Maybe, and Sister Richard, God bless you, you give me a very good example. Sister, when after the fellowship, she gave me an example there. She said, there was a man who told them, go to that church. Bless you, God, sister. Go to that church. That was all his work. And she, here she is. She's never left. Maybe all them, he didn't even come, maybe. But he pointed you, don't you go. That was all he was brought here on earth to do. That was his work. God has allotted everybody, even Cain, even the serpent. I said, oh, this is the economy of God, and he does whatever he wants to do with it. You have something that God has allotted you. When he brought you to this message, there's something he allotted you. Maybe it's just the mom you dress, and you go to the beach, just down there, and they laugh at you, and they say, oh, this heat. And she's wearing a dress. That's preaching. That's maybe. You don't know what it does. And brother, don't give us a story here. I think that was Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody. I think that was Dwight Moody. Who went there and preached something, and there was nobody. And he preached something. And he said, because he's organized and there's a place to preach, he came there and preached like he's preaching to 1,000 people. And he didn't know what the way he was there to do. A drunkard underneath there that he didn't even know had it. You have something, middle senior. You think you are nobody because you are. And that story about that lady saying, may I pray for that baby? Praise be to God. Each one of you, even your finger. I told my brother Michael the other day about the nail. He said, yes, a nail. It seems like nothing, a nail. If I'm a nail, you think you're nothing. It's very important before. God is not an entertainer. He didn't bring that nail on that hat for nothing. Sir, yes, sir. It was for a purpose. And it will serve his purpose. If it's just scratching God a bit like that, that's enough. That's why it brought him out. Can't finish this. I just want to then. It goes back to God, right? I'm not going to read the other one. Let me read this. He's choosing, but he's choosing. I don't know which one to read, and he's choosing. That's what about the prophet and. I think I put it wrong. Should I put this? He's choosing on the underneath the when the eyes were. I think I disorganized that. On paragraph 39, about the prophet. I'm not going to read that, but you can read it. You have it. It's about the prophet and Dan Henry. When Dan Henry brought his heart around him, he said, that's the 23rd chapter of the book of Revelation. And maybe I can read what he wrote down here. Because he said, and here are all three notes, paragraph 44. And here on the margin, and here are all three notes exactly the same. He talks about the French man and those. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way. Thou hast walked in your own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision, and it is my way. That we contribute that to the prophet. Contribute that to yourself also. The reason it was written here, you can give it to yourself. And I tell people, it's always hard. When the prophet says pray, it's always hard to pray. It's hard. One time the prophet went to pray and he was feeling some things, and every time he kneels down, there's something itching, something I don't know, the ants and things like that, and he could not pray. And he woke up, he stood up and said, I must pray. And he knelt down somewhere and he talked to the Lord. I don't remember exactly what happened after that. It's hard. Everything is hard to serve God. He said, because the devil is here. The devil is here actually trying to make you not do it. He uses our bodies. But that choosing, answering that call, yes, Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. It's not answering that call. Brother, you don't know what you do in that kingdom of God. You don't know how many demons you shake in the world of the demons. But just saying, Lord, I'm here. After struggling, see, yes, I'm here, use me, Lord. Okay. And I was saying this choosing is controlled by God. Because of the monumental decision, a huge portion of heaven will await thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This makes me happy. And sometimes we want to attribute that, brother, a great portion of heaven awaits you. If you believe that the prophet was the first sheaf that was waved upon us, that will be like him, then a great portion awaits you. Just be accepting, yes, Lord, I accept what you've done. Just saying the right thing, like Meda. No, Hatier. His name was Hatier. He says, the prophet says, he said the right thing. What did he say? It's exactly the truth. He told the prophet like that. Just saying that in your heart. And let it be a new thing in your heart. This is truth. This is right. Nothing else but the truth. That's saying the right thing. Yes, sir. Praise God. A great portion. After you accept that, a great portion awaits you. All right. No other time of salvation. I just wanted to put this there. That this is another thing. Maybe I'm not even able to be to read it because of time. Time has run out. But what it was I wanted to show. And the two examples here I've seen. You can go read it. Those three quotes. I think there are four quotes there. There was no other time of salvation. After the church ages were over and he took the book, no more, nothing. It's done. Gamaliel, if he's not saved, he's not saved. If he doesn't have eternal life, he doesn't have eternal life. Nothing, there's nothing. The prophet in the book called, I've also put it here, I think, I don't know whether I put it here, seventh seal, I think I put it here. The prophet says, when he comes, the seventh seal, when it opens, what is the seventh seal? Seventh seal is his coming. He says, he's the head of all things. He's the head. When he comes, it's over. He's the head of all things. He says, it's even the ushering in, and he has said that twice, so that we don't think that it was a thanks ride. It wasn't. He said, it was the ushering in of the, what is ushering? Maybe I don't know much English, but what is ushering? Can somebody tell me? What is ushering, Mom? Ushering is like telling him come in, is it right? Then someone sharing, like ushers. You have ushers sometimes. In big churches, we have ushers letting people in, is it right? It's the ushering of the millennium. That was the usher. That was telling millennium, come in now. That was the coming in, the beginning of the coming in of the millennium. Praise be to God. And we know we don't have a millennium here. We don't have it. These cars and things, that's not millennium. We know that. We know that. But that was the issue. That was the end of everything. Praise be to God. Anything that was not saved, was not saved. Everything was, it was about it. From here, everyone is done. That's it. That's it, brother. Another quote is about the people. The people, and you, I didn't write. I think I have two, but I wrote the one in the. I wrote the one in the Feast of the Trumpets, but I think I have another one that is more clear, and I could not get it as fast, so I put this one there. But it says like this: the people, they are the souls, and I'm finishing. The souls under the altar, were given robes. That is in Faith this year. They were given robes. He asks, why were they given robes? He said, robes is the Holy Ghost. Those robes is the Holy Ghost. Let me throw this one here. I believe the Holy Ghost is eternal life. you can argue with that, but the Holy Ghost is eternal life. That's what I believe. is God. There's no only one form of eternal life, that's God. And the Holy Ghost is God. So they were given the Holy Ghost. He says, those robes does not mean, even he, when he talks about the robes, that there was somebody that was found without with a robe, without the robe, he says, those robes meant the Holy Ghost. Is that right? That those robes meant the Holy Ghost. So being given robes meant the Holy Ghost. Then he says, why? Because it was the time of giving the Holy Ghost. That's right. Like that. It was that time that it was given the Holy Ghost. It is here that he saves them. He saved the 144. He saved these other people. This is the time of salvation. Brother, this is the time that everything is done and they're here. Anything that was not given are here. If the souls under the altar are not saved, they'll never be saved. And all things that were saved here had eternal life to begin with. If they didn't have eternal life, they don't. And they'll never have it. All that is here has eternal life. Anything else that did not have eternal life, it's over there. I have very little time, and if I was here, I would have liked to go on. This is, there are some quotes here I've left, but it's okay. God puts it in my heart. Next time, brother, don't give me a chance. I can bring them, but let's leave it there because of time. But brother, may the Lord help us. If I've said anything that maybe you don't see it the way I see it, please pray for me. I don't start here as a know-it-all. I don't, brothers. Pray for me. I'm going to Africa. It's easier for me there. I don't know why. It's easier for me there. Here. I really labor. Because everything I want to say, you people know. You know so much. So I want to bring it in such a manner that it will be it. It will be that. And I also say it in a way. Sorry to say this, but in a higher way. If you bring it in Kenya, in a lower way, that's okay. They will see you. Here, I want to bring it in a higher way, not to bore you also. Because, you know, bring it just talking. And I want to bring in a higher way that you bless you, that you see at least something, that you learn something. That's what I try to do. And forgive me for maybe mixing, and not being able to organize myself very well. But at least, maybe God has spoken something. If there's anything that's not of God, may the Lord take it out. But if there's something that the Lord has spoken that is truth, may it be put in my heart and in your heart as a blessing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, and for taking us the route that you've taken us. And maybe I didn't want to go that way, but that's the way you've taken us, Lord. And you know the best that you can give to your children, and that is what you deemed fit to give. I pray that it will be a blessing to my heart and to the hearts of my brothers and my sisters. I pray that the cord of love, the Lord God you've put between us, make it even stronger, Lord. Make us one. Make us love one another more, Lord. Father, because you are love yourself, and without it, Lord, then we don't have you. Thank you for what you've done to us, each one, Lord. I know you've blessed them. We are not talking about material things. We are talking about the way you've brought us in this message, in the truths, Lord, in the revelation of your word, Lord. Father, we are thankful. I feel like those disciples who came to you and you told them, you are given to know. And Lord, you've given these people to know. Lord, that's why they study, that's why they love you. That's why, Father, they are where they are now, Lord. And I remember whenever I look at the journey of Israel, Lord, whenever it came to a place, Lord God, they stopped a bit, Lord. That's how it seems to me. That, Lord, they did something that was not right. I remember one time, Lord, when Moses left them and went for a journey, Lord God, to the mountain to get a voice from God. And they stayed there for some time, Lord. And when Moses came back, Lord God, they're worshiping another thing that had not taken them out of the land of Egypt. to the place where they were, Lord. That's your time. Because I was sitting there, they had forgotten, Lord. I've seen that over and over. Whenever they stop somewhere, they sin a bit, they sinned against you, Lord. If we don't grow, Lord, and Lord, we are here thanking you for that, because every time you make us grow. The other day, Don said that, Lord, don't look at me how I was maybe 20 years ago. I've grown. I had weaknesses. I did things that were not right that time, but I've realized they were wrong. You make us grow daily, Lord God. Make our eyes, when you look at one another, don't look at those old days. Don't look at yesterday. You said there will be a spirit of frogs, that the eyes look back, Lord. Let's not look back. Let's look at what you're doing. Let's look, Lord, where you are taking us and what you're doing right now and where you are taking us, Lord God. Help us look at that. Help us to love one another. Help us not to look at the bad side of people, Lord. Help us. You know how to do it, Lord, because you are God. For the needs of the people, we commit them to you. And we know that, Lord, you care. That's why and that's how we trust you. Thank you, Father. In all things we give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I think I've taken so much of your time. I think I can dismiss the people, Brother Don. I've taken so much. Do you want to come or do you just want me to dismiss the people?
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we appreciate that. And Lord, there. And a message that you can take and reread the quotes and studied on that. A lot was said, and some deep thoughts there. And so we appreciate it very much. And now we just want to give Brother Goomba a good send off and just be in prayer for him while he's away. I just be honest with you, I wish I was going with him. Nothing, you know, we don't try to. Well, maybe people do, but I never tried to say I'm like the prophet, like this, or he did this, and I'm just like that, or something. But there's something he said that has always I've had it my whole life. And my wife and I were talking the other day, and I've always my whole life has just been back and forth, coast to coast. North to south, we lived everywhere. My dad was military. She was raised in the same town. She knew the same people. She went to the same school. She went to the same church. Her mother went to the same church. Her grandmother went to the same church. All her life, everything was just the same all their life. And I would go to school somewhere for a few years, and then we was on the other side of the country. And I'd go there a few years, but the other side of the country was there somewhere else. My brother Brandon. When he talked about, he said, I go home. He said, I go out. I'm gone for months. And he said, I miss my family. I miss everybody. And he said, I want to get home and I want to see him. And he said, then a plane flies over. He said, I want to go. Yeah. And I think God makes every one of us, just Brother Goomba said this so many times, he makes us just what he wants us to be. Amen. Whatever your nature is, whatever your makeup is, amen. God planned that. As Brother Bradham said, he said he put this one with that one and this one with that one. I just think he's been doing that for thousands of years now just to get you. Just to get you. Just the way that you are. And he has a purpose. He just has a purpose in that alone. And he had it in his mind. And we mentioned too on Wednesday, Brother Goomba mentioned it again this morning, how all of this that God wanted to express is because he wanted to have a sense of purpose. He had something that he wanted to express. And in every one of our lives, there's something in you that's motivating to do and be what you are. And you, we had the children here yesterday, and we were talking about them. And our youngest son, he's one that he can't be still. He can't sit down. He can't go on vacation. He just works. He's either working on his job or he's working for somebody, helping somebody, helping them on their house or a friend or help. It's just what he does. And that whatever motivation you have, whatever it is, God is using it. He's using it for his purpose. Right. And I know that Brother Gumba, he has a great desire. Him and I both put us together because I traveled with him a lot. When I first went there, he took me everywhere. He drove me everywhere. He did so much for me. And we got to know each other very closely. And if there's somebody who has a feeling for people, if there's somebody who loves God and wants to spread this message, that's our brother. That's Brother Gumba. He has a strong desire, and he's always positive. He's not up and down. One day he's positive, one day he's negative. He's not like that. He's always positive. And he's always positive about this message and getting this message out. And so we just want to hold him up while he's away. And we know God is more than able. So let us stand together once again. And I could just get to talking here. And he was worried about time. I could just keep going. But we really appreciate Brother Gumban. We appreciate the messages that he's been bringing here lately. It's been really good. And we want to just be praying for his journey, praying for the meetings there in Thika. I'm so looking forward to that. And I believe God's going to do something great. And so let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once again we come giving you thanks and praise. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are the sovereign God, the omnipotent God, that you know all things and that you made all things for your own purpose. Lord, that all of it you had in your mind, good and bad, that which you would made to glory and that which you made to dishonor. Lord, all was for your glory. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you give the bride a heart that she can accept all that you have, all that you've said, all that you do, all that you desire. And Lord, we ask you to bless each one this morning. Bless Brother Gumba. Lord, strengthen him as he goes. Lord, just may you have your way. And Lord, we just commit him to you. Lord, that you would just bless all that he does and all that he speaks to. And we just commit all to you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.